Welcome to the Man in the Mirror Bible Study Podcast. Today we are concluding our series on the spiritual disciplines with a message titled, Declutter with the Spiritual Disciplines. And our speaker is Pat Morley, author and founder of Man in the Mirror.
So welcome to the Bible study, Man in the Mirror Bible study for you guys online. It's the Man in the Mirror Men's Bible Study. We're in a series, A Man's Guide to the Spiritual Disciplines. Let's give a shout out to the guys that are joining us online. And by the way, in January, it looks like if things work out, we're going to start doing the video again. So that's good. And so some of the guys around the country and world will be glad for that. You know, we've had as many as 15,000 guys in the Bible study at one point. So a little shout out to the guys out there who are listening. Maybe you can be seeing at some time in the future. So pray for that. There's still some details that have to be worked out, probably far enough along to say it's at least a possibility. So let's give those guys a shout out on the count of three. One, two, three. Hoorah! Welcome to you, men. Today, we are going to be wrapping up our series. The title of the message today, Declutter with the Spiritual Disciplines. So where are you on the clutter continuum? All right. So are you like our daughter who, if you want to get into the passenger seat of her car, you need to bring a large black yard-sized trash bag to get it all out to get in? Maybe you are a person who leads a cluttered life, or maybe you're the kind of person you can bounce a coin off of a bed that's been made with a military style or somewhere in between. So what are some of the problems, though, when you lead a cluttered life? You can shout them out. What are some of the problems? What is it? Distraction? It's very distracting. All right, what else? You lose important things. Okay, yes, what else? It's frustration, right? Yeah, where is that list of passwords? Oh, get a password manager, and then you won't have to worry about that anymore. Okay, so what are some other things? Say it. It's time-consuming, right? Because you're handling the same things over and over again sometimes. Is there anything good about being cluttered? Not particularly. However, sometimes if you're like me, I will strategically neglect things. Like when I'm working on a book, I don't do my filing. I don't keep up on a lot of things. So by the time I'm finished writing a book, I've got a big mess. I thought about showing you a picture. It's actually in the PowerPoint. I'm not going to show it to you, but when I finish a book, then I declutter. I now have a little conference table in my office. I've got about, I don't know, maybe 15 piles. I have things, and I have a little post-it on the top of each pile where it's supposed to go, about halfway decluttered. So, you know, there are seasons in life where, you know, you need to let something go in one area in order to get something done in another area. That's okay, right? But generally speaking, is clutter good or bad? It's probably not that good, right? So there's another area here that I want us to talk about, and that's spiritual clutter. And there is a thing that we could say is spiritual clutter, where we are finding that our minds are cluttered, our hearts are cluttered, our spirits are cluttered, our circumstances we've talked about, but these other things that are going on inside of us can get cluttered too. Now, we've been talking about how to practice the spiritual disciplines for the last dozen weeks, and now we're going to wrap it up. So here's a question. You know, what are the signs that you are spiritually cluttered? So I'm not going to spend so much time on this, but one of the first things is that you would be distracted, like Martha was distracted in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42, where Martha, the text says that Martha was distracted by all the preparations. Jesus said, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing's needed. Mary has chosen it, and it will not be taken from her. Or another sign that you're leading a spiritually cluttered life is that you've been taken captive by hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human traditions and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. Or like the third seed in the parable of the sower, you have been who hears the word, and he's choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and so God's word in his life is not fruitful. So you're choked by life's worries and riches and pleasures. That would be a spiritually cluttered life. Or that you're engrossed with the affairs of this world, the things of this world. And 1 Corinthians 7:31 says that the world in its present form is passing away. So don't be engrossed in worldly things. Or maybe you find yourself striving versus abiding. If you've been here any time, you know that this is one of my favorite concepts, just the distinction between striving for Christ and abiding in Christ. Jesus said, if you abide in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask for whatever you wish and it will be given to you. Or the difference, another distinction I really like is the difference between making it happen versus letting it happen. In Proverbs chapter 16, verse 1 and following, to man belong the plans of the heart, but from the Lord comes the reply of the tongue. All a man's ways seem innocent to him, but motives are weighed by the Lord. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. In his heart, a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. So these would be signs that you may be leading a spiritually cluttered life. If you have been distracted, taken captive by yourself, choked by the worries, riches, and pleasures, you're engrossed in things, you find yourself striving to make things work, then you might be leading a spiritually cluttered life. So how do we handle this? Well, from business, we have an idea. It's been foundational for the ministry of Man in the Mirror. And the idea is your system is perfectly designed to produce the results you're getting. Now, in business, what we mean is that if you're manufacturing automobiles and every third car that rolls off the assembly line is missing a front right fender, then your system is perfectly designed to produce that result. Or if you're selling real estate and the person, the woman in the cubicle next to your cubicle sells twice as many houses as you sell, that she has a system that's perfectly designed to sell twice as many houses as you. And it's just a very valuable idea in so many ways. So I'm going to give us a big idea this morning that's a takeoff on this. And the big idea for the day is that your disciplines are perfectly designed to produce the results you're getting. The spiritual disciplines that you practice or don't practice are perfectly designed to produce the results you're getting. So if your walk with Jesus, and why are you here? You are, the only reason you come, the only reason you're here, the only reason you're listening online is that you want to have a deeper walk with God, however you want to say it. You want to be drawn deeper into the compassion of the heart of Jesus. I've been watching The Chosen. I didn't watch it when it came out. The timing wasn't right. The timing's been right for me lately. And I just finished all of it last night. I started with season 3 and finished, then I did one and finished season 2 last night. So I've done the whole thing. And it was just so the timing was just perfect for me because I found myself drawn into the compassion of the heart of Jesus. I just want to say beautiful things. I want to do beautiful things. Sometimes beautiful things are hard things, right? Honest things, truthful things. But just to get away from the performance-based, judgmental, self-righteous Christianity that just, it's It's always been there, but it's so much more visible, it seems. At least it feels like it's more visible. Maybe it's not. But it's always been there. But I just want to get away from that, you know? And the disciplines give me a system, if you will, that's perfectly designed to help me get into that heart of Jesus. And that's what we all want. That's why you're here. So the disciplines, it's kind of like I was preparing this message and I was thinking, will I ever talk about anything more important? Well, of course, we'll talk about a plethora of things that are important, but nothing will ever talk about is more important than understanding that this interrelated web, this system, if you will, of spiritual disciplines and how they can affect our lives. And just however we're doing, it's a reflection of how we are executing the spiritual disciplines that we have chosen for ourselves. So what can you do about it? I need to keep moving. So, sorry, I need to leave now. I need to keep moving. I'm very kinesthetic. If I don't keep moving, among other things, I just get stiff, you know, physically. I mean, I'm talking about physically, I get stiff. And so I end up doing about an hour a day of something, but stretching's a big part of it and so forth. But I have a sedentary job. So I need to be moving, but I have a sedentary job. I write books for crying out and prepare messages. Very sedentary. Well, my habit is, if you will, is that I work at a computer all day long, and then I sit in front of a TV at night because I'm too tired to do anything else because my mind is, mush. I mean, that's the way it is. So for years, I'm talking about 10 years now, I have been praying in earnest that God would give me the power of the Holy Spirit to not watch so much TV. And guess what? It worked. I'm still recklessly inactive. This idea, though, what can we do about it? If we're not practicing the discipline that we know we need to do, whether that's physical or spiritual, what can we do about that? Well, this is an idea that if you were to call our adult son and our adult daughter right now today, and they've been in the house for a long time, and they say, what were your dad's two favorite sayings? They would say, well, one of the things he said almost every day is sometimes you have to substitute discipline for a lack of natural interest. Do what you don't want to do so that you can become what you want to be. Any athlete knows this, right? So sometimes that's what we need to do. We need to substitute discipline for lack of natural interest in the area of doing spiritual disciplines. Okay, so let's talk then about how each of the 12 disciplines that we've talked about could help you declutter. And we're not going to spend much time on it, but I want to just do a quick flyby on the 12 that we've looked at, and there are many others too, but these are the 12 that are in the book. So how can spiritual disciplines help you declutter? Well, how could creation help you declutter? It might be a walk along the beach. For some of you are retired and you like to play golf, so maybe it is playing golf. Just that, really, just an awareness that all of creation cries out, "I was made by God. I reflect the glory of God." So to worship God in creation, and then Scripture. You've heard me say this many times, Scripture is like Google Maps for the soul. Wherever you want your soul to end up, Scripture can help you get there. And personally, I've never known a single man whose life has changed in any particular, any significant way, apart from the regular study of God's Word. It's kind of like a first among equals. And I'm sorry you don't have this for the online guys, but there. If you want to send me an email at patrickmorley@maninthemirror.org, patrickmorley@maninthemirror.org, you can send me an email and I'll send you this worksheet that the men here in the live session have. But there's it's basically the 13th chapter in the book, and I've slimmed it down a little bit for a handout for you guys. And this, you can create your own action plan. And if you guys online don't, well, buy the book, do the 13th chapter, and you'll have your own action plan for each of these things. And so some of the things I'm saying are in the worksheet that you have in front of you and also in the chapter in the book. So creation, scripture, and then worship. The deepest, let me say it this way. There is no deeper instinct in the soul of any person than to worship what or who? Well, we know that to be Jesus Christ. But this desire to worship, it drives people. When you, whether it's worshiping money, it's worshiping sex, it's worshiping fame, it's worshiping fortune, it's worshiping a car you want to own that you can't be happy unless you have it, living in this neighborhood. Everybody wants to worship. We're created to worship. And so everything can be an act of worship. Again, I said your entertainments and your amusements, they can be an opportunity to worship. You can be at a magic basketball game and you can admire the creativity that God has put into human beings to do these incredible things with a basketball, and you can worship God. Everything can be an act of worship. Everything should be connected to God. There should be not just you and the circumstance, there should be you and the circumstance and how you understand God better because of that circumstance. Does that make sense? Everything is worship. So prayer, in The Chosen, I was struck by how much emphasis Jesus puts on prayer. And it's a very true, how many of you have seen The Chosen? I'd encourage, most of you. If you haven't, I'd encourage you. I'm going to watch it again. I'm going to wait a few months until I watch it again, I think. The emphasis that Jesus puts on prayer, but this is the way we, it's the language that God has given us to talk to our Father and to Jesus himself. So then the Sabbath, you've heard me say that God has made it legal to rest one day a week. But also another way of thinking about it is that I think all of us should at least consider taking some time to Sabbath every day. That every day there should be some kind of a Sabbath where we take, and sometimes you might call that a quiet time or personal devotions, or you could do it some other way. Small group. I think that every man should be, for his own benefit in a small group. Now you have them around the tables here. You have your small groups. I mean, this is a place where you can come and you can get validated. For example, you can get your emotions and your feelings validated. When somebody's gaslighting you and you don't know what to think, you have a group of guys here who can help validate that you're not crazy. Or when you're getting off track, you have, or maybe they're laughing back there because those are this is my small group that's gaslighting me. It could also be that, you're getting off track and maybe, who knows, maybe you're getting spiritually cluttered. Maybe you're engrossed. Maybe you're pursuing something in a worldly way. And in a loving and gentle way, your small group could say, hey, I've been seeing something. I don't know what's going on, but let me just tell you what I'm seeing and tell me what you think. And so hold each other accountable to be in a small group. It's powerful. And then counsel. There's some questions on there. Just having somebody help you figure out what's the difference between an opportunity and a distraction, for example. And then fasting. You could fast. You could fast from anything, not just food, but try, if you haven't done it, maybe skip a meal, see what happens. Spiritual warfare. Just knowing that there is this battle, this titanic battle that's constantly raging inside of you. And the voices of the world, the flesh, and the devil. But you have a superpower, the Holy Spirit, who is much more powerful than all three of those combined. But if you don't know how to do spiritual warfare, then your Holy Spirit might be too far away on the day of battle. Stewardship, just knowing that everything belongs to God and having this sense that I am responsible. Service, the idea of having the mindset of a servant. Jesus had the mindset of a servant. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, follow my example. And then witnessing, the final one, just that we would have the mind of Jesus. So Jesus came for two reasons. He came to show us the Father, which he did more than adequately. And then he came to give us a mission that we would help other people to be able to see the Father too. Okay, that's it. And so if we're not involved in the mission of Jesus, then guess what? You are cluttered spiritually. So these are just a quick, but you can see that each of these disciplines can help you spiritually declutter your life. It's a beautiful thing. So the big idea, again, your disciplines, they're perfectly designed to produce the results you're getting. So whatever your life looks like right now, it's your choice. It's your choice. It has been your choice, and you could decide, you could even do it today. You could even decide today that I'm going to make some changes. Or maybe you are not a follower of Jesus at this point in your life. You could use these spiritual disciplines to help you get decluttered from the world and do a reset with Jesus. Many things more could be said about it, but let's finish up with a daily reset. I want to talk about the concept of a daily reset. So I don't think that I'm trying to make progress from day to day to day and get better and better and better. I don't think the spiritual disciplines have been given to us to help us get better. I think the spiritual disciplines have been given to us to help us each day start over from scratch. I have six rote prayers. I've talked about them here before, but one of them is that every day, and when I say every, I don't mean every day, but every day, you know what I'm saying, right? Yeah. Every day, I have a prayer, Lord Jesus, I make a full, total, complete surrender of my life to your Lordship. That's a reset, brothers. That's a start over. It's not a, Lord, help me to be better today than I was yesterday. No. Deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me if you want to be my disciple. He's giving us, as Bonhoeffer talked about, when Christ says, be my disciple, he bids us come and die, to die to self every day. It's a daily reset. And so the idea of taking some time each day to consciously practice some of the disciplines that can be done in a quiet place, for example, and that could be, so I'm not egoistic about any of these things myself. You know, for example, like if we go camping, I'll go to church and I don't think give it another thought. All right, that's just the way it is because life is fluid and dynamic. But if anybody would neglect the disciplines on an extended period of time, then they're going to find themselves engrossed and worldly and all those other things that we talked about. So that's why, even if I am camping, I still do a daily reset. So I'm out on a hike and I'm in creation and I'm praying and I'm doing some of the, and worshiping and some of the other disciplines, so they still get done. So, but the idea of a daily reset is of paramount importance. And when I say a daily reset, if you miss a day, so what? I mean, you know, no big deal. But if you go 2 days, well, you're going to get a little hairy, you know. And if you go 3 days, they're going to need a big black yard trash bag, you know, to get rid of the clutter that you're creating. That's just the way, that's the way life works. If I don't clean my glasses on a regular basis, guess what? I can't see out of them. If I don't clean out the garage on a regular basis, guess what? I can't get my car in. Things get cluttered. Minds get cluttered. Hearts get cluttered. Spirits get cluttered. Souls get cluttered. And the ordained way that God has given us to become like Jesus are the spiritual disciplines. So why wouldn't we want to do a daily reset? So when you think about all that you have to do today, all that you have to do today, do you want to do that having been with Jesus, having done a reset? Or do you want to go and try to do that all on your own strength and then ask God to sort it out when it doesn't happen the way that you want it to? It may not happen the way you want it to anyway, but at least you have been letting it happen instead of trying to make it happen. You will be abiding in Christ instead of striving for Christ. Abraham Lincoln said this. He said, if I had 8 hours to chop down a tree, I'd spend 6 hours sharpening the axe. You probably have heard this before. That's the idea of a reset in analogy form. Big idea today, your disciplines, your spiritual disciplines, they're perfectly designed to produce the results you're getting. So if you don't like the results you're getting, guess what? Adjust your system. Adjust your system. And if you need to substitute discipline for lack of natural interest, do it. God is showing you that he's given you as a gracious gift to do, and then you will become the kind of person that you want to be. That's it for the spiritual disciplines. We're going to start a new series on the fruits of the Spirit next, and so looking forward to that. Let's go ahead and pray. Our dearest Father, first of all, thank you so much for all of the disciplines, the ones we've looked at and the other ones as well, that can help us to have this deeper walk with Jesus, you Jesus, and can draw us deeper into the compassion of your heart and can turn us from the judgy, temperamental, sinful, selfish people that we are prone to be when we don't reset on a regular basis, the disciplines that can help us to be that person who does exhibit the fruits of the Spirit, that person who does bear much fruit, the person who does have their prayers answered because we are abiding in you. Lord, help us to practice the disciplines and let our own particular set of spiritual disciplines be a system that's perfectly designed to produce a holy life and a happy life. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. You can find the Man in the Mirror Bible Study wherever you listen to podcasts, as well as on our YouTube page. If you have found this helpful, please subscribe, give us a 5-star rating, and share the podcast with friends. Since 1986, Man in the Mirror has been teaching the Bible, helping us reflect deeply as men and apply God's truth to our lives. This Bible study is recorded in front of a live audience every Friday morning outside of Orlando, Florida. If you need help navigating your life or leading other men, please go to maninthemirror.org and check out our vast library of Bible study videos, blogs, and articles on Christian growth and leadership. There are plenty of resources you can use to grow in your faith and help others grow too. At maninthemirror.org, you will find books written just for men, helpful materials for your church's ministry to men, and even a potential career in men's discipleship. If you're a man personally struggling in life, or you need help in discipling men, please send us an email at biblestudy@maninthemirror.org and let us know how we can help.